Hey, this is Elizabeth.
This is Keisha.
Hi, this is Leslie Sullivan, and welcome to the Mustard Seed Podcast.
Welcome back to the table. Today we are kind of again jumping a little bit ahead with the women of the Bible, kind of like what we did around the holiday season last year when we talked about Mary. So we're going to talk today about Elizabeth and kind of what her role is, you know, and kind of dig into her story, which we all find, or you can find in Luke chapter 1. You know, just as a brief overview before we get really kind of into her life, you know, Elizabeth was Mary's cousin. She was from the tribe of Levi. She was married to Zechariah, who was a priest, and she is the mother of John the Baptist.
I mean, that right there, without any other diving in, is enough layers.
Yeah.
For any woman to like, for us to like think through all the things that she was and connections that she has to Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that's cool.
Yeah. I can't imagine raising John the Baptist. I can't imagine raising Jesus, but you know, John the Baptist, he just, I don't know. Was he running out to the desert? As a little boy.
I think he was a skosh eccentric.
Yeah.
This sounds like he was kind of a little passionate.
Just a little. And I think you have to get that from, well, obviously the Holy Spirit gives that. Absolutely. But I also feel like it has to come a little bit from parents. I mean, mom wanted to be a mom for so long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it didn't look like it was ever going to happen. And then all of a sudden, hello, there you go. And he's kind of a key part of the whole prophecy part. Mm-hmm. And
no pressure.
Yeah. And you're going to be pregnant at the same time as your niece and, or cousin, sorry. Yeah, there's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
You know, I think she set a high standard. You know, it says that, you know, her and her husband were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in the commandments and statutes of the Lord. You know, so they were pretty good. I'm assuming they were pretty good parents.
Yeah. Well, they definitely understood the law, right? They understood what they needed to do, and they had great faith. I mean, the hard part is, you know, we always see, like, when they're talking about how them being blameless, it doesn't mean that they're sinless. It just means they understood what Levitical laws to follow that pleases the Lord. Like, they did exactly what they were supposed to do and what they, you know, and how they were supposed to do it.
Kind of makes me think, John, you know, why he got in prison was because, you know, he was very righteous, and he was telling the king why he was not righteous.
Well, the whole marrying your brother's, or fooling around with your brother's wife, then having her divorce him and marry her, kind of a not so good thing.
But he wasn't afraid to tell him.
I know. As we see in the South, bless his heart. Yeah. But it's the same thing. Like, I know we talked about it with Mary last year too, was that, again, this comes after 400 years of silence.
Yeah.
Or at least 400 years of nothing of note. I'm not saying God was silent. I don't know. I just know that we have a good space in between the Old and New Testament that we know nothing about.
Yeah.
Maybe those scrolls are still lost. Maybe God wasn't silent and we don't know it, you know, but it's not part of our canon. So there hadn't been those miraculous signs, those no angels coming down and visiting, and no one hearing from the Lord other than the priests, you know, that are entering into the Holy of Holies, you know, and that's speculative. That's me, you know, that's my thought, because I'm they wouldn't be doing it if there wasn't still something, you know. But Elizabeth just had a full devotion to God, you know, and she hadn't directly heard from him or heard of anybody, you know, having any kind of interaction, you know, with him. And that's just a huge testimony to where her faith walk was and what her, her devotion and her, her mind, where that was. And then you have the correlation almost to Sarah, you know, a little bit with her being older in the age, pretty much past childbearing age. I mean, and the angel tells her husband, she's going to have a son. This is what you're going to name him. This is who he's going to be. And this is why he's coming to earth, you know, and she handled it. It's like she learned from Sarah's mistake. I felt like, you know, because she didn't laugh. She didn't say, oh, you're kidding. As her husband wrote on the tablet that this was going to occur because he couldn't talk, you know, and she was just like, thank you. He's taking away my disgrace.
Yeah. I think it's also that, that faithfulness to, and that patience to the plan that you continually pray for and hope for. Right.
Yeah.
And that's also with like Sarah, Hannah, Rachel, you know, all those other women who had to wait a long time to have kids and figure that out. And, just it's a pretty amazing to have that patience as a female, right?
Yeah.
Especially back then when it was the, I think we talked about this with probably Sarah and in those stories too. Just that's what they were supposed to do.
Yeah. And if they couldn't do it, they had to find somebody who could.
Yeah.
You know, allow their husband to either take their slave or to do, you know, they had to find a way for him to have an heir. You know, and for Elizabeth, like, obviously you're assuming that she's obviously constantly in prayer, just, you know, for that to take away the disgrace that she felt because of that time. You know she was likely being ridiculed and people probably wondering, what did she do
that to not be favored? Or
you know, what was her secret sin, you know, because, you know, women are women, unfortunately, sometimes, and it's, they're catty, and I don't think that's any different then as it is now.
Yeah,
I mean, you saw it even with Leah, you know. And for in Hannah's story, the other wife, you know, just ridiculing, you know, the other one that can't.
Well, and again, prophecy fulfilled. And again, an angel, like, I mean, again, obviously it was told before in the Old Testament, and then it's brought to, you know, angel comes. These angels are busy this like during this little season between Zechariah and Joseph and Mary and Elizabeth. They had a lot going on.
Gabriel got his steps in.
I mean,
that time around, that time.
A busy guy.
You know, we've talked about it before, but it's that wonder, you know, you see that God had a plan, because Zechariah was chosen by quote lot unquote. So rock, paper, scissors, drawing straws, your turn, you know. But I didn't realize this until I was really digging into Elizabeth and her life, and that there was a plethora of priests. Like, this isn't like just like two or three and they're drawing straws. This is like triple digits of, if not more, priests. So it was very likely that you never entered into the Holy of Holies, because it was always a drawing of the straw.
Yeah.
You know, and
they just went in once a year, right?
At once every 6 months.
6 months.
Yep. So twice a year. So, I mean, it was very likely you could go your entire career and not enter that.
Not ever get in.
Yep. You know, and that had to be scary. you think about it, they're tying a rope on your ankle just in case you weren't as blameless as you should be. You weren't following the laws, or you hadn't fully repented before entering into the presence of the Lord, and you just immediately dropped dead. Like, how many times did that have to occur before they figured out, you know, we should probably tie a rope around these people so we can get them out? Yeah.
I never thought of that before, but you're right.
Mm-hmm.
How do we safeguard from not losing all our priests? Well, let's tie a rope around. Yeah. I hadn't thought about that. I like that. I mean, obviously it had to happen to like somebody, like the keeper of, you know, the door, or however that hand, you know, how that exact process happened, right? That enough of them had to see a couple guys get sucked into the void to make them go, oh yeah, oh look, there's some rope. Let's grab, you know, like, what is it, a MacGyver moment where they quickly saw rope and they went for it. And, but again, it also shows how real that the Holy of Holies was, and how serious God was trying to show them to be about the task he set before them. Yep. And this is before Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, back in David's time when he was moving the Ark of the Covenant, you know, you had the one guy who just reached out to steady the Ark when it was about to tip, and God killed him.
Yeah.
He wasn't supposed to touch it. He went holy.
Yeah. Yeah.
God means business.
Truth.
But in my head, I'm like, he was probably up there going, Lord, I was just trying to make sure it didn't fall. Like, could I not have gotten a pass? Just
yeah.
You know, David was in the wrong because he's the one who had it moved and he was not doing it correctly.
Yep.
But
so here, I guess, as a contrast, you know, Elizabeth handled everything well. Like I said, she learned from Sarah, but Zachariah did not.
Yeah.
he had a Sarah moment, you know, and he became silent for 9 months as a result, probably about closer to 10 months likely. But, you know, I mean, it was a good way of people knowing, like, obviously he had an encounter with the Lord. He came out and he's completely silent. And think about it again, you have 400 years of not having that kind of evidence. And you see that, how many people were thinking, okay, something's going to happen. Like, we got God starting to show back up. We've got, things are starting.
I wonder if Elizabeth thought, man, it's pretty peaceful here.
I was just thinking that, like, is this like the best 9 months, or like, or a little bit of both, right? Like, this is really great.
Yeah. Are you freaking out? You're like, I really like for you to talk to me and tell me what we're going to do this and how we're going to do it.
You need to get real good at shorthand on parchment paper or something. I don't know.
I would just always, you know, you'd be talking to him from another room and be like, are you actually listening to me? Like, I can't tell because you can't, you're not answering me and I can't tell if you're listening.
Sometimes we all think, oh, that would be wonderful. And then you have to go, actually, like, a day, maybe wonderful.
Okay. Maybe, but now what's your talk?
Maybe two, but with my husband whispering happening. But then after that, you're like, just get your voice back. I'm tired of trying to interpret you when you can't speak and your chicken scratches chicken scratch. You know, like,
I can't read your handwriting.
That's what I say. Like,
well, like, that's how I know something's wrong with my husband. Like, he's upset or he's not feeling good. It's when he's quiet. Yeah. And then I'm like, why are you quiet? Why are you being quiet? Talk to me. What did I do?
I think that is always my first question. Steve can attest. It's like, are you mad at me? What did I do wrong? I'm like, I'm wrecking Mary. I don't feel like I did anything. And then there's times when I've actually done something and I didn't realize that he took it in a manner of which I didn't mean it. You know, but yeah, that's always my first question. I bounce too much off Steve. Like, I need to talk it out. I need
him
to actively listen to me. And sometimes that means he asks to actively say things too. Yeah. I don't think I can handle him being mute. Whether I agree with the things that he says is a whole nother story, but I need to be able to discuss things.
Yeah. There's times when the silence is okay. And then I have to go, wait, we okay?
Yeah.
We're like, what? We were just watching TV. I'm like, yeah, it's too quiet. And he'll be like, well, then start talking. But again, you have to reciprocate that. Okay. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. So I found it interesting. So I tried to do a little research because, and I've always thought this was not interesting, but it always made me question, because when Elizabeth becomes pregnant, she goes into seclusion. Like, she steps back. She doesn't go into public for 5 months, you know, and there's a lot of speculation as to why that occurred. You know, it's thought that, you know, it could have been to hide her pregnancy, just because it was a miraculous moment. She wanted to keep it to herself for a little bit, you know, kind of bask in that, or, you know, as a lot of women do, they kind of keep it to themselves until you're past the first trimester to make sure that this is actually happening, because you're scared, you know. And, you know, they also talked about just kind of that it could have been just, she just wanted to stay away from any kind of scrutiny and gossip, you know, as she kind of waited for this to fully unfold. You know, the one thing I did see too is also that they said her seclusion was like, it was an act of faith, you know, it was anticipating the fulfillment of the angel's prophecy, you know, and so she could have just been also doing it because she was also a little advanced in the years. So she also could have just been like, I'm tired. I don't feel like walking to the market.
True. I think too, you know, because it talks about her being such a righteous woman. Mm-hmm. I think she was kind of basking in it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this is what God's done for me. You know, this is what God's going to do. My own opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think she, until she felt comfortable in it, because she was older, and you're kind of like making sure it's going to work. Am I going to stay pregnant? I mean, yes, I know the angel said so, but I've never felt these starts before, because I prayed and prayed for years for it, and, you know, all those parts of it. So that's also part of the thing in my, just as I think and think about it as a female.
I also wonder, you know, these miraculous pregnancies, you know, you're talking about Sarah, talking about Hannah, talking about, you know, Elizabeth, talking about Mary. Were they bad pregnancies, or were they kind of easygoing pregnancies? You know, were they sick for the first 3 months and just exhausted? Or did they like, just like, oh yeah, this is not too bad.
I don't know. I feel like you start walking on the people and say, well, Mary didn't have a hard birth or anything because she was birthing the Savior. And I'm like, I don't think so. I don't think that's how that works.
So imagine, like, you are Elizabeth, though. Okay. I'm going back to the story. And then Mary gets her angel coming to her. And then the two of them have this party day, right? Like, where Mary comes and visits and spends time, and they, you know, she writes songs and, you know, all these things. But imagine, like, that feeling after, you know, being barren for so long. Mm-hmm. And now you get to experience this joy with your cousin. And just that, what that interaction would be like that.
Yeah.
That time. I just think that. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that would be really neat. And then the baby leaped, you know, as soon as he heard Mary. And, you know, I think back to my pregnancies, and, like, that was my favorite thing. It's when you first feel the baby. And it's not a big thing at first. It's just a little flutter. Almost like, oh, is that really the baby, or is that a little gas? But he jumped. I mean, there's no way of saying it. Oh, nope, that was the baby.
Yeah.
And then no, it's with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, it says the Holy Spirit was with him in the wound, you know? And this is before, you know, it was uncommon to have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came down and was on, you know, like David, and it left Saul. You know, it's there, but to experience it.
You almost wonder, obviously the Holy Spirit was there, but it also, like, John and Jesus be like, whoa, that's my cousin.
Yeah.
He's going to tell people about me coming, and then I'm going to be there. Like, this is going to be really awesome. don't know. I just also wonder if that's like the Holy Spirit working through all those ideas, but it's working through all those things so that that excitement keeps growing as the babies keep growing too. And I, so I've not, obviously I've not been blessed to be pregnant, just not, and have those experiences of the leaping, but I imagine just how bright and joyful that feeling is. Right. And so I think that's pretty cool.
Well, especially because it's the Holy Spirit too. It's like the, when the baby reacts like that to Mary, just showing up, you know, with being pregnant with the Savior, you know, I mean, it's huge. That's validity, right? That's valid, that it's validity for Mary to know that she didn't just hallucinate.
Yeah.
You know, that's validity for Elizabeth knowing that she's part of a plan, you know, that she's part of her God's plan to bring the King of the world, you know, the coming Messiah. And she gets to be a part of that, and her offspring gets to be a part of that because of her faithfulness.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think too, and you know, God has his plan and everything works out just right. But I kind of wonder if, you know, it only being a 6 months difference, that it gave them someone to be with at that time, you know, well, someone to experience with.
I think Mary was sent to her because they kind of lived in a little more secluded of a area. And I think she was almost sent away kind of, you know, by her family to kind of figure out, because they were trying to do damage control before it completely got out. But then what better place for her to go to a woman who is so faithful that can encourage her and to be, you know, to allow her to just let everything go and just have that rest, knowing that she's doing what God wants her to do.
Yeah.
You know, so God obviously knew what he was doing and had Mary go to Elizabeth and had those signs and gave her that time to know, and kind of just building up her. I would assume like Elizabeth just poured into Mary, like, you're going to face ridicule the rest of your life. You're gonna face hardships. You're going to face all of these things, but our God is bigger than that, you know? So I can just see her being that, just that woman of God that has that light that you just are drawn to and you want to pour into you. And that's what Mary got for those first, you know, I don't even how 6 months she was there, 5-6 months that she was there, you know? And so I think that that was a huge part of maybe why she was able to even be able to go back, you know, talk to Joseph, have all of the, and have all of that conversation, because she knew she was doing what God wanted, needed her to do, and that her purpose was much bigger than anything that anybody could ever say.
Yeah. Yeah, because she saw the purpose for her aunt or her cousin. I keep wanting to call her aunt because she's older, right?
Yeah, that's hard. Yeah. Yeah. So,
but like you said, both of them seeing the prophecy fulfilled for both of them. Mm-hmm. But the only way they could really experience that, quite honestly, was together to truly understand it or go through it together. You can't have one without the other.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty cool too.
I just think it'd be, that's one of the things, you know, I'd like to just go and sit and listen to, like, what did they talk about? Like, what did they do? And what, how did they, you know, interact? Like, what was being said?
Yeah.
What kind of words and encouragement was spoken in the room that they were both in?
Yeah.
And then too, also for Elizabeth to be able to share her news, you know, with, and again, in a safe place.
I love this. I just did like a, what can we learn from Elizabeth, you know? And obviously we know faithfulness, God's surprise timing. But I love this, supporting younger generations with wisdom and encouragement, even facing like the personal shame of like not being able to have that child up until. And this is one of my favorite phrases ever, because a friend of mine, Lisa, said this at a youth gathering once. It's God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Mm-hmm. So Elizabeth was just Zechariah's wife, right? Like a good person in the community, blah, blah, all the things we could suppose, right? But then she ended up getting this just extraordinary job, mm-hmm. and working for the Lord in an extraordinary way. So any of us can have that. That's the cool thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think that's very cool to think about.
It is. I will say, and you know, as you know, when she actually has the time, she gives birth, you know, and she's telling people what his name is. And they're like, that's not even a family name. Let's go ask your husband. Like she was trying to pull the wool over all their eyes, going to name it, you know, and he had to write down, no, his name is John. That would have irked me a lot. I understand this culture. I understand that. I do, but it would have irked me. Like, I'm sorry, this is my kid too. Yeah. You don't think we talked about this?
Like, well, they didn't talk about it really.
No, I mean,
I'm joking.
No.
Because he couldn't talk. No, I'm joking.
You don't think we wrote about this? Yeah. Talked and wrote about this?
No, but I agree. Like, you don't think that we didn't process this even after the baby was, you know, because they didn't name babies right away like we do nowadays.
Yeah, no, that was like 8 days. Like, it was when he was circumcised that they actually named him.
Yeah. So, because I believe, quote me if I'm wrong, tell me if I'm wrong, he did retain he got his power of speech back the day he was born. I don't know if it's ever written that way.
I don't think so. No? I think he didn't get his speech back until he confirmed that his name was John.
The baby. Yeah, he wrote it. For like 8 days. He wrote it first. Okay. And then they gave him the voice.
Yeah.
Oh. And then he prophesized, like, right after, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because it says...
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. I'm like, I read that this morning.
Yep. Sorry. I'll take my bad moment there.
Yeah. Listen, we all have them.
Mm. Yeah. I wouldn't have known if I didn't just literally read it.
Yeah. Like, I just read that this morning and part of everything. And I've been going through Luke too as part of the Advent. So I'm going through, you know, reading one chapter of Luke every day. So that one was pretty fresh because that was just a couple days ago.
Yeah. I don't know why when I read it too, that it, I don't know. I guess I just felt like he got some, I don't know. I just didn't read it right. So we're good.
Well, it's because that's what we think of. Again, we name our kids that we can't, 9 times out of 10, you can't leave the hospital unless you've named your child.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have to name them, and they're even circumcised in the hospital if they're boys, if that's the route that you choose. Yeah. So there is no waiting a week and a half or waiting a little over a week for that, because that's not what we do anymore. Here, maybe in other places, it's not what we do here.
Yeah.
So it's natural to think baby's born. They already agreed that they know what the name's going to be, but it's because of that culture and the way they do it. God made him wait until it was publicly declared.
Yeah.
After a circumcision, his name is John.
Yeah.
But you better believe he's probably counting down those days.
Yeah.
So close to being able to talk again.
Yep. Almost here. It's almost here. It's almost here.
Well, there's always a lot that you can learn from these women in the Bible, which is, again, why we do this. You know, why we take a look, a little bit deeper of a look into the women that we hear about a lot, or some, and a look into the women that we don't hear a lot about, because it's important, because if they're mentioned, if they're discussed, if you know their name or you know their story, that there's a reason, you know, and there's always something to learn. And Elizabeth is a great one because you have that, you know, you just have that woman of faith, and you almost have that kind of like what I've talked about with our women's ministry and the Lisa Revere book, the godmothers. Like, Elizabeth is almost like the first godmother, you know, where she was able to pour into the next generation, mm-hmm. knowing that the next generation was legitimately bringing up Christ.
The Savior. Yeah.
But, you know, she still had that opportunity. So she can be a really good mentor for all of us in our season if we are trying to find somebody like Elizabeth, or if we are called to be an Elizabeth, yep. You know, to that generation. And it's just something that we can always, that we should as women all strive to do, because being a woman is hard enough. Being a woman in this culture, in this day and age, and even as we grow up, I mean, we all have to, it's hard being a woman with all the things that we get to go through because of Eve. You know, so, yep. So I mean, to strive to be more like an Elizabeth is something that I think we can all benefit from.
Definitely the humbleness to continue to serve, mm-hmm. no matter what, whether she was ever able to have the child or not, she continued to serve the Lord. And it's just
serving in the silence. She was still serving in the silence. It's just really, really hard to do. All right. Well, as always, we always encourage you guys to let us know what you thought, you know, what your comments are, you know, regarding kind of what we discussed. We love to hear from everybody, kind of like a discussion. And I want to know, we want to know what questions you had, what questions maybe we answered or that we didn't answer or we answered wrong in your opinion. Like, we want to hear it all. But that's going to be it for Elizabeth today. And we look forward to seeing you guys next time.
Hey, so for a little bit of a fun bonus, we wanted to share with you all an outtake from today's episode that features the one and only Brian Sullivan. As a bit of context, Brian tends to always bring Leslie Chick-fil-A on our recording nights. Obviously, those bits are usually edited out, but today we wanted to share it here at the end so you all can laugh along with us. So without further ado, here is the mustard seed with special guest appearance by Brian. Unedited and unscripted.
Again, I take delivery.
December 27th.
You'll be there December 27th.
I actually meant to ask you guys, are you guys coming this year?
Yeah, we are. Okay. I figured at the end when we're done recording, we'd chat a second about that, see if we can all get together.
Well, then you see him like the Pink Panther going through. Like,
and I had muted it. And then I realized, oh, wait, he has to walk behind me. Then, anyways, it doesn't really matter.
Do 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 do.
Exactly. You know, it's podcast recording night when I get Chick-fil-A. So there you go.
Heck yeah. You gotta have Jesus's chicken on podcast recording night.
I'm just saying. You know,
it's gotta be like a fruit of the spirit.
Elizabeth would be jealous. I'm just kidding. Her pregnant brain wanted Chick-fil-A.
100%. Chick-fil-A sauce is the best. There is literal Jesus crack in there.
Anyway, Elizabeth, we were talking, you missed it, honey. We were talking about how when Zechariah was silent for the whole pregnancy, mm-hmm. was that good or bad? And we're all mixed bag, but we also think we would not like it if you were silent for that many months. It would drive us all nuts.
It was probably smart. Probably smart.
Yeah. I'm saying. You're saying. Okay. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Roles reverse. Like, you know, think about how long would they want us silent?
I'm afraid to ask.
I will not ask that question.
Let me know if you do, because I'd love to know what you guys say.
I feel like Steve would probably be more like you, Leslie. I could handle a day, maybe two. But he like that. Like after that, no, he wanted. He needs my input on some things. Maybe three. Is that what you said?
Oh yeah, I don't know who said that.
Lord, was that you?
Speaking of prophecy. <I'm just> guest appearance in the podcast by Brian. Right. Anyway.
Mustard Seed starring.
That was funny.
Special guest appearance featuring, however they always put it when it's the big name, you know, yeah. Like the,
it's usually like at the end of the movie and
like, yeah. Like,
as a disclaimer, after hearing this bonus clip, Steve wanted to ensure that I made it abundantly clear that the Elizabeth pregnancy comment was still referencing our podcast subject, Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, and not me. Thank you for listening. We want to thank you all for listening to the Mustard Seed Podcast and for joining us on this journey that God laid on our hearts. I know it's hard to feel connected when we are on this side of the microphone, so we wanted to make sure that you knew that you could connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at the Mustard Seed Podcast.